Welcome back, everybody. This is Sources from the Sofa. It is me, Rome. We got Aaron and Jason. We were recording Thursday night, close to 10 o'clock at 9 Pacific time. So another late night edition from us. I was doing stand-up in San Francisco. Wasn't my best set. Kind of bombed a little bit, but I did get a chance to watch from the second quarter on for the Giants and Eagles game. Pretty exciting. I did have Scadaboo and started him, who I picked up on the waiver wire like several weeks ago, and tonight he panned out. Hopefully this makes up for me not having any wide receivers on my fucking team. But I had the Giants winning tonight.
So I really gotta know what league this is that Scadaboo was just a free agent. Like, who are these people you're playing with, man?
Dude, he was available, yeah. Yeah, the bill, I swooped him up.
What's the money in this league? Because I'm gonna get in this next year. Because if
that was these just guys 50 bucks. Just
signed, oh my god! Like, you know,
but I am like,
it's a shady league, Jason.
I have a decent team, and I'm doing shit, dude. Like, Rome's one guy team, has all the good wide receivers, and like there's no one's gonna beat this guy. He's called the Masturbating Penguins or something like that. And
that's some weird team names, but. The commissioner of the league basically just changes the rules as it goes on. Because I guess me and Rome were talking after he went off the air. They have trades in their league, and everybody's supposed to vote on it. And if half the league votes yes, it gets approved. But he just erased that after he made a trade and just said commissioner's approval. And guess who's the commissioner? He is. So that's how that league goes.
This guy is a shitty motherfucker, man. I'm going to beat the shit out of him next time I see him because he sucked me into this fucking league. They didn't tell me about the fucking draft. I have a decent team, but now I'm getting beat down by people that whoever has like a 30-point game. I don't know. Either way,
well, Scadaboo just got a 30-point game. You had 3 TDs and like 100 yards rushing. So
I like Scadaboo. He's showing why Arizona State was really dangerous or why they had such a great season last year. They're kind of missing him this year. But 19 carries, not too crazy. So a little bit down from the previous last 2 weeks. But I think it came out earlier today on Pro Football Talk or something like that, where they want to focus more on him and make him the feature back and make him a big part of this offense from here on out. He's supposed to be like the third string guy. A couple guys are out injured, but I think with what he's done the past few weeks, he's cementing himself as a number one back. I'm pretty happy. Jackson Dart has some pretty solid plays in this game. One thing I don't like is that he kind of throws himself while he's trying to go for a first down. And that's not good in the NFL, especially with how lanky and skinny he looks. He went out. Russell Wilson came in for, I think, one series. He got booed after it was a quick 3-and-out. No one likes him anywhere he goes. It's been a rough 4 or 5 years for Russell ever since the heyday of the Seattle Seahawks. Hell, it's been rough probably longer than that, right?
Because I think the real question is that we brought it up probably about a month ago. Is he kind of, you know, playing his way out of the Hall of Fame? But if he does get in the Hall of Fame, is his introductory going to be a boo? Because that's just what his last 4 years were. I'm like you mentioned, just been hearing boos. So I think it should be a warm welcome for him.
Maybe I'm one of the few. I just never saw him as a Hall of Fame quarterback. I'm sorry.
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's really crazy if you look at that, like that goal line play versus the Patriots. Because he scores that touchdown. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion. I think he's an automatic Hall of Famer.
Yes, yes.
Because this is where you're these guys like Eli and whoever and the short
list. They should have won.
Two Super Bowls, but like not getting that, never getting back to the heights in Seattle, going all this hype to Denver, Pittsburgh, Giants, all just been kind of just like a blur of a disaster. Like it's like that moment, like just hand the ball off there. He gets a second Super Bowl ring. Cements himself, and it's just been. I mean, there's been highlights, but it's just, I think that's a moment right there where it's like it went probably automatic to borderline to now play his way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Rome, you mentioned Dart. I mean, the way Dart's playing, and then, like you said, Wilson comes in for 2 plays, a handoff, and literally just throws a ground ball into the dirt and gets booed off. I mean,
it was like a 3rd and long. Yeah.
It's hard to envision a guy being a Hall of Famer when a rookie quarterback's coming in looking so good, and he's getting booed off the field. I don't know why Jameis Winston's not number 2 on the Jeff chart. I mean, Jason mentioned it for a month ago. I don't know why. I don't know why Cincinnati didn't trade for him instead of Joe Flacco.
Why did they get Flacco?
I don't get it. I don't get it, man.
And someone reported. I don't remember which NFL reporter said like they didn't even reach out to the Giants on either Russell or Jameis. I have zero idea why. Man, give me Jameis out there, man. At least he's gonna make it fun and entertaining for some of these teams. Jeez, man.
Jason, that was like such a good TV idea, man. Like, I wish I could pitch it to a network and we could just make it happen. It was so good.
What, the moments that you played yourself out of the Hall of Fame? One moment to find your career or what?
No, that we should just send Jameis to whoever needs a quarterback. You know,
100%.
It's really good.
So I look at, we should just, I like that idea. Jameis should just be on a different team every week.
Yeah.
Just basically, he travels on a bus. He goes, "Hey, you guys need me this week?" And he just steps
in.
It could be a
TV show. Yeah, it's like Anthony Bourdain, but the backup quarterback.
Yeah, he goes from New Orleans to the Jets to the, you know,
10-day contracts.
It's more like you can do it like both games, or like you get him in a game where, you know, you play pickups where someone's the all-time quarterback on both teams. Like, just how do I get him? He plays quarterback for both sides. You know, just give me one game where he's just chucking the ball over the yard.
That's funny. Jackson Dart, really good game though. 17 for 25, almost 200 yards, one touchdown. Nothing too crazy, but he scrambled when he had to. Scatterboo had a really good game, three touchdowns. Robinson had a touchdown reception as well. Jalen Hurts, quite the pick six. Was that in the third quarter?
Yeah, not quite a pick six, but yeah.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Damn.
I don't know where that ball was going, but... It was kind of like that, reminiscent of that Monday night game where I can't remember who the defensive player was on Jacksonville, but he stepped back and read the pass, intercepted it, and had a big reception or a big return. So he had a rough night. Of course, I feel like he's passed a little bit more this game just because they made it a point, because they've been getting criticized for the passing game. Saquon, so far, man, very quiet on the rushing front, only 58 yards on 12 carries, very low compared to last year. And now we're like entering, this is week six. And then still their number one wide receiver, I guess people thought he got punched and they called a flag. He just kind of flopped. It was pretty bad. It was pretty ugly. And of course, it's back-to-back weeks now. Someone that's in the top three in my power rankings just plays like shit. So I don't know what I'm going to do with the Eagles for week seven coming out, but thoughts on this Thursday night game?
Surprising with the Eagles, like back-to-back weeks right now. I'm sure all of Philadelphia circled this one as, you know, an automatic win. Weird things happen on Thursday night. I think we say that every time as we talk about a Thursday night game, short week.
That's division two.
In division, those are generally tough. Tough loss, you know, for the Broncos last week, for the Eagles. I don't know. The Eagles, weird. The first 4 weeks, we talked about how close like a bunch of those games were, you know, even the opening week versus the Cowboys. And then,
you know, we saw the
Cowboys not being great after that. Close win versus the Chiefs. The Rams are close. The Buccaneers, they were blowing them out, but then let the Buccaneers back in the game. So, you know, it wasn't like they were blowing people out. Like we've, you know, me and others, you know, I think everyone here were saying, hey, best team in the NFC. The Broncos was going to be a tough game. Aaron and I, you know, I think both called, and there was a cover, but I think Aaron called that straight out as an upset alert there. The Giants one, I think just a little bit surprising here, especially what we've seen with the Giants, but they've shown flashes. Jackson Dart generally definitely gave the boost to this team that I didn't think it was going to be needed, especially with losing Neighbors. What was it going to be with Scatterboo? You know, everyone's been psyched about him probably since college. That was a big thing in the playoff last year. And I think he's definitely an interesting personality. There's some just funny stuff with these guys, you know, talking about him and what he's like. And yeah, he runs the ball, right? He's a rah-rah guy, bashes his head into the wall, just like saying things like random. No one knows what he's talking about. Like, there was some article, I had to look it up. Like, they just like asked Giants players about him. It's just like, it's all hilarious and complimentary, but the guy is just like, just so random and stuff. But, you know, it's a personality. And I think you got him and Jackson Dart. I think I saw Robert Mays, old Ringer NFL writer or whatever that I follow on Twitter. He just tweeted like, Jackson Dart and Scadaboo are the Bash Brothers from D2, the Mighty Ducks or something like that. You know, these guys just going out there. So, and I thought it was an apt comparison, you know, what you're going to do. So, I mean, they don't got neighbors. Passing game, you know, hasn't kind of been there. They pound the ball with Scadaboo. Jackson Dart making some plays with his legs and some key passing moments, you know.
Yeah, 13 carries still.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been on the Giants, I think we're saying, for 2 years now, that they got something about them. We don't know what they got, but they got something about them. And Daboll, you know, he's coaching for his life here at this moment, man. And, you know, this is someone believes in the guy over there. And, you know, you get a couple of these wins, gets the Giants 2-4 right now. You know, it's not completely over for them. And the change of quarterback, as much as I didn't think it was going to do the trick, you know, so far they're, what, 2-3 since the – or 2-1 since the change of quarterback.
I think that might be, like, the worst part is that they're showing some heart and some drive with the change. Scadaboo's now playing. They got Dart now playing. Is that it gives their coach life. And I really don't know if he's good or not because he's made some really questionable calls. Look at guys that have left the organization. They're flourishing elsewhere. Is the organization, is the coach, is the play calling, is it everything all above? But whatever it is, it looks like they turned a leaf maybe. And pretty big win, 34-17. Aaron.
Yeah, it's a good one for the Giants, you know, coming back after that disappointing. I mean, look, Rome, you mentioned last week against the Saints, they probably win that game if they don't turn the ball over five times. I mean, they're getting ready. They're getting ready to go in for the leading score when the Scadaboo fumbled, got returned for a touchdown. You know, I've been talking about it. Jason's been talking about it. There's a lot of weird things that happen at the Superdome there in New Orleans. Just it's a weird place. Anything can happen. You could be on a good run. You go there and you lose. Giants have been real competitive in every game this year, really, except for that first game where Washington kind of took them out. And I basically said that was the nail in the coffin for Russell Wilson, that he's done. He comes out and plays against a bad Cowboys defense, lights it up, and then week three, he looks terrible against really the Chiefs there, and they got to go and bench him. And then, you know, Dart comes in and gets a job done against a good Chargers defense. Now he's got the Eagles. Eagles a little banged up on defense. No Jalen Carter. Their top corner, Mitchell, goes down early in this game as well. But the Giants look good. Brian Daboll, I like him. I mean, like I said, he got Daniel Jones his first year there. They got to the playoffs and then, you know, kind of fell apart from there. Whether or not he can save his job or not, I mean, I'm looking at their schedule they got coming up here. They've got at Denver, at Philly, 49ers, at Chicago, Green Bay, at Detroit, at New England before a bye. So, I mean, realistically, they could lose all those games. If they were to win two of those, that'd be quite impressive. But this is a big win, and I think the Eagles, where are they at? You know, last year they were 2-2, weren't looking good. Jason already mentioned, you know, 4-0, but not really impressive. Remember, was not last year, but the year before, what were they, 11-1 before they dropped like five of their last six and then went in the playoffs and got eliminated real quick. You know, new offensive coordinator, the offense is struggling, at least the run game is, even the pass game. I mean, Jalen Hurts, his numbers look good, but the second half, they didn't do anything. They didn't score any points in the second half in this game. A lot of questions there for the Eagles. I think this is a good mini kind of bye week coming up for them before they have to kind of hit the reset button and see where they're at.
Nice. So Giants improved to 2-4. Eagles fall to 4-2, and they're going to be falling down my power rankings next week. Kind of bummed about that. But Eagles have a lot of things to figure out, and we'll see how they go from there. It kind of reminds me of, when was it? It was a couple years ago when they got rid of their offensive, or not got rid of, he took a job somewhere else, right? And they've been having a lot of a changeover as far as the offensive side. And they start off the year really good, then kind of fell off the rails, and they lost, what, a handful of games and didn't make the playoffs. And then same thing again this year, right? They won the Super Bowl last year, change of coordinator, and these are kind of some of the things that you would have expected from, I guess, the Lions, but the offense has just not looked the same. Barkley has not looked the same. Brown has not looked the same. And Jalen Hurts, what he does well is not turn the ball over, but he's not passing it either. It's just a weird predicament to be in. So we'll see how they progress further along.
Well, remember last year, we were talking about, at a certain point, Philly wanted to fire Sirianni.
Yeah, like, no, that was within week five. Yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, they wanted to fire this guy last year, and then he led him to the Super Bowl. I think that's the one, all valid points by you. The one weird thing about the Eagles is all this kind of constant drama, the A.J. Brown stuff and everything like that. Like, you're 4-0, and we're complaining about who's getting pass reps and things like that. Like, those are the things that kind of just the drip, drip, drip of drama that, like, you know, you can overcome a little bit of it, but how much does it end up like taking it out of you? Like, you know, we got unhappiness when we're 4-0. Okay, when we lose a couple, when we face adversity, where's this team going to be? And then, hey, we won the Super Bowl last year. You know, what's the level of hunger for this team to actually win? Or does it, you know, start to take on of a life its own as everyone's looking for theirs at the same time too, if things aren't going their way?
Yeah. All right, before we transition to doing some lines for week 6 in the NFL, just want to talk briefly about the baseball playoffs. They have been really exciting. I think we briefly talked about it yesterday. But Dodgers, oh my God, a pitching duel. It was 0-0 until the 7th inning. Phillies striked first, getting a run. Dodgers end up getting a run as well when bases were loaded. And I think it was like a walk or the fourth ball on Mookie Betts. I got a run scored in. Only two outs, I think, they got out of it. Only one run was scored. We end up going extra innings. Philly goes all in, brings in their starters, pulling a Dodgers move, brings in their starters. I can't remember. It was whoever pitched in game two. He came in for an inning or two. It was lights out. Shohei Ohtani has not swung the ball very well in this series. He's been getting struck out quite a bit. So we're down to the 11th inning, and all of a sudden you got guys on third and first, one out. It's pandemonium. And then they do a pitching change, the Philly does, and just a little hit up the middle. I think it was Pahe, right?
Yeah, Andy Pahe. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Pahe. Yeah. So he hits it almost like a bunt. That's what it looked like. It kind of bounces towards the pitcher. He couldn't corral it correctly, bounces off awkwardly the right side of him. He goes up. There's still space. He could have got the him going to first, I believe, on time. It was definitely, he had that angle. That's what most pitchers would do, but he kind of fumbled it. You're kind of panicking. It is loud in Chavez Ravine, and he throws it wide right to the catcher, who is pointing at first base to throw it there. And Dodgers score the winning run to close it out 3-1. Quite the fucking finish. I was actually watching at this bar that I was doing a comedy open mic, and ironically I found out it was a Chicago Bears bar. Lots of Chicago memorabilia, and it was just two other guys cheering, and the bartender, who happens to be the owner, he was not happy, but he told everyone to shut the fuck up. It was pretty great, but we were cheering, and there was a bunch of Cubs fans there too, because they were watching the Cubs game on the other TVs. Pretty fun atmosphere, and just a wild, wild finish. I think, Aaron, you mentioned it, like, that has not happened, or maybe it's the second time that's happened, winning on the air at the end of the game ever in playoff history. First time in a divisional series. So, man, such a heartbreak for Philly. They're already like losing their minds on like their airwaves yesterday, or like the day before when they dropped game two. So Dodgers move on to play the winner of whoever comes out of the Cubs and Brewers. Cubs dominated their game, played really well. There wasn't really much besides them being on the offensive side, but they even the series 2-2. So there will be a decisive game 5. Any thoughts on either of those games?
The Dodgers-Phillies game, as far as you mentioned the pitching duel that it was, but really just getting summed up by a last play, because, yeah, it's a terrible way for your season to end. And yeah, especially because in the moment, everyone's screaming, throw the ball to first. But, you know, in that moment, he bobbles the ball, doesn't corral it, and just panics at a moment and try to see what's in front of him, where the obvious one is he had time to get it to first base and just – the complete just like disbelief probably like about anything. I think even the Dodgers fans at a certain point, because like no one kind of really knew what was kind of going on at the moment. And so, yeah, it's just a crazy way to end. Aaron and I were both high on the Phillies, you know, coming into this playoff is probably the favorite in the National League. Tough on them, you know, losing Wheeler down the stretch. I think that was a pretty big difference maker, because that's, you know, you know, for all intents and purposes, probably the best pitcher in baseball through the first half of the year. And I think losing a guy like that is pretty detrimental to a team where, you know, pitching generally in the playoffs becomes, you know, such a premium for those starts and the innings that they have. So, but on the Dodgers, you know, this is what you pay, you know, $1 billion or whatever the Dodger payroll is. So, I mean, moving on, I think either of the teams will be pretty good in the Cubs Brewers series. I think the Brewers have been, you know, a really good team all year. They've been good for 2 years now, haven't had the respect. Kind of more surprised this Brewers Cubs series is actually going to five games. Just felt like the Brewers were just a better overall team. But the Cubs are really good tonight. You had a big 3-run homer early in the game. Never saw the Brewers offense really taking off. He just had, you know, splattering of hits here and there. You know, former White Sox legend Andrew Vaughn, you know, had a 2-out single that amounted to nothing late in the game, but, you know, just nothing offensively for the Brewers. So, interesting going to game five. It's probably best for the Dodgers if they did win because their bullpen is as shaky as it is. I know, Rome, you had probably like a big commentary on yesterday's pod just around that. So, the Dodgers being able to set their starters and figure out what they want to do from a pitching perspective, because likely their biggest liability in a series against the Brewers right now is, hey, what's the bullpen situation from the Dodgers going to look like? If any of these starters run into trouble, what's going to be Dave Roberts' strategy for the middle and late in that game? I think the Dodgers, I think, want the Cubs, I would say, because I think the Dodgers are going to be more favorable to match up with the Cubs, where the Brewers, like, I think the Brewers are a tough out versus the Dodgers. So, but should be, regardless, a big NLCS. I'm sure Major League Baseball is rooting for Cubs versus Dodgers. That'd probably be the ratings and the box office draw that you would want, since Major League Baseball already lost the Yankees. The Blue Jays, obviously, are not the biggest draw there. So the American League is probably not bringing the TV ratings. I don't know if a Seattle Toronto ALCS is going to be bringing people to it, but give you a big game five there coming up too, because the Tigers, you know, forcing the game five, that'll be a real duel. The Tigers have been crazy story, man, for how big they choked away the division just to get here, and now, you know, they're a game away from the ALCS. So some great baseball in the middle of football season right now, Rome.
Really good baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because you get first pitch at Dodger Stadium went at 3:08 p.m. our time. But yeah, touching on, man, that's a tough way for the Phillies to go out. It was a great pitcher's duel. Glasnow versus Sanchez. Both guys were on their A game. We talked about it yesterday.
That's not it, great. Like,
you know, what's up with these pitchers looking sharp, and then after three innings, you're pulling them. Today, the Dodgers, obviously, we know they got to stick with their starting rotation. They're getting good pitching because their bullpen has been on shaky ground. They've just been bringing starters in to fill in there. But, Páez hits a routine kind of soft grounder. Pitcher bobbles it. You know, JT's pointing to first, probably yelling too. But like you said, Rome, there's 53,000 screaming fans, right? And as a pitcher, you're thinking like, okay, the winning run's at third base. If he scores, not only do you lose the game, but your season's over. So obviously you're rushing in the moment. You're panic. The ball, like, you know, he throws the ball. It sails over his head to the right.
And he knew it right away too. He just like knelt over.
But give the Dodgers guy Kim credit, because he didn't touch the plate on the initial come through.
He did it.
If he had just walked out and went back to the dugout, that's an automatic out. Once you leave the play of field and go out, you're done. JT could have actually picked up the ball and then tugged him out. So
I was wondering about that.
A lot of crazy stuff could have happened there.
When they were playing the replay, were they talking about that? Because they weren't playing the audio inside the bar, and I was thinking, like, he didn't touch the plate. He barely missed it. So
they mentioned it on the replay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He went back, but it was all over Twitter. I even said, like, yeah, he blatantly missed the plate, that they could have had it on there. So
I don't know if he knew he did, or maybe the Dodgers from the dugout were kind of like, you know, obviously the guy I don't think he speaks any English, so maybe I don't know. Maybe they started to say, you know, giving him a little symbol, like, hey, go touch it, you know. So, yeah, tough way for Philly to go out. But, yeah, like Jason mentioned, I mean, losing Zach Wheeler, you know, probably a Cy Young front runner. I mean, really, really good pitcher. That hurt. I mean, Phillies, we talked about the depth that they got. We didn't also mention that, you know, Alvarado being suspended for steroids, really their top reliever outside of when they traded for the closer from the Twins. That could hurt them, too. So, basically, you know, Philly's down two of probably their top, you know, one of their top relievers, top starters.
Dodgers were down a lot of people too. So I'm not buying it. All right, yeah, next. Okay, we're going to take a break. Big game fives coming up in baseball for the divisional series, so I'm really excited. We got Tigers, Mariners, and then we have Cubs, Brewers.
Who you guys got?
That's a pick, dude. I have no fucking clue. I got to imagine the Mariners come through just because they're going to be at home. Should be pretty exciting. I have a friend going to that game. He's a big, lifelong Mariners fan. I'm trying to get him on the pod. He's a really big baseball guy, but this guy really loves the Mariners. I'm not sure if I can handle that much love. Cubs, Brewers.
Well, we got to deal with your bullshit every day.
Well, I got to hear about the fucking Chicago Bears every fucking week. You know, it's almost so much homerism I can take.
Listen, you knew that when you hired me, man. I don't know what you expect me to take. You know, I got you, at least you got you hooked down on Formula One here, but you know, you don't want my Bears takes. I don't. That's the game I'm breaking down the film, and you want to hear my expertise opinion. So I'm going to disagree with you, Rome. I think Scooble's on the mound for the Tigers.
You talk about
Cy Young front runners. That's the guy for there. So I mean, this is the big moment. This is where legends are made. Scooble's just been one of the best in the game for a couple years now.
You might be right.
I think this is where he throws the gem, so I'll take the Tigers there to close that out, and I'll take the Brewers. I don't know the pitching matchups yet, but I just think going back to Milwaukee, it probably is the goofy thing about the Milwaukee Cubs series is, like, you know, it's not exactly a big home field advantage for the Brewers, since it's I saw this in talking crap about between Chicago and Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee's like right down the street. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're
90 miles apart.
There were shirts that say that Milwaukee's nothing more than
a suburb
borough of Chicago.
I saw that. That's actually really good.
Yeah,
that's really good, dude.
But I still think the Brewers are a better ball club. The Cubs, I'll be along. The Cubs fans are forgetting about it now, but the Cubs fans are ripping this team for not making significant ads at the deadline and just trading for, you know, Soroka and doing nothing else. I think that depth is going to come back to them a little bit here. I think the Brewers take care of business.
Yeah, so, I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna take the Tigers. I think that Detroit gets it done. I'm rooting for Seattle, but I think Detroit's gonna win it. And then with the Brewers, I think, you know, they're the better team. But they've just not excelled in the postseason forever. They've always kind of found ways to lose, whether it's against, you know, Dodgers, the Braves, when they went on to win the World Series. I think the pressure is getting to them. Cubs, I think, are going to advance. So I'm going to take the Cubs on Saturday. I'm going to take the Tigers tomorrow. I'm going to go with both road teams in Game 5.
Someone compared that it's very familiar with IE. They said Milwaukee is like Riverside to LA, the way Milwaukee is to Chicago. I'm like, that's pretty on point, actually. Very quaint, both cities. All right, let's take a quick break. We come back and we'll do some lines. All right, we are back. I am laughing at the idea of a Tesla driving like an Asian woman. A lot of backstory to that.
I don't think those are street legal, Rome, just for the record.
Dude, one of my favorite games to play is when I'm driving around, like, something happens, like, all right, guess the age and the race. It's always fun when I have guests in the car. In San Francisco, I've made some, like, pretty, very PC friends, and they don't like that game. I'm just like, dude, like, line the fuck up, all right? They're like, you can't say that. That's racist. And then I'm like, all right. And then we drive by the person who just cut me off. I'm like, see? See? Was I wrong or right? And they just shut up. So
I'm pretty sure that's like a Shane Gillis joke. I've never watched the show, but I think he's got a show on Netflix or something like that. And
does he?
I don't know if he. Yeah, I think it's called Tires or something.
Tires
like
is good, man. I like okay. Tires.
But I think there's a joke on there.
Yeah, like, something like that.
I can tell what car you drive by, like, by your race, or like,
oh, 100%.
Yeah, there's something like that.
And so, and there's some Jay, and the guy was like totally disproving him, and he named something, and so I think there's a joke on there. It's pretty, I've never seen the show, but
I'll have to check it out. Tires is
funny, man. Two seasons going on a season three, but quick little 20-minute like episodes, like six episodes a season.
It's a show.
Yeah, it's a show.
It's a show
on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to check
called,
it out.
Called Tires. He's basically, he's a mechanic.
Shane Gillis, mechanic?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Does he sound like a mechanic? All right. I'll check it out.
But he looks like a mechanic, Shane Gillis.
Does he? I guess so.
He looks like a mechanic.
Yeah.
He looks like a Midwest guy. He's a Notre Dame fan, man. You know, looking like the Rust Belt, you know?
100%. All right. NFL lines. We were supposed to have a special guest today, but our special guest is having a special time in the Las Vegas books this evening. So maybe he'll join us for a future episode.
You know, you say that, but I mean, sometimes just, you know, some people that want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, you know, Rome, they can't hang with the late night pod.
Yeah. That's basically, we should change the name, Sources from the Sofa After Dark, you know, cause that's basically what it is now.
Honestly, we probably should actually and just do a live show. Screw it. All right. So we kick off again in London, not again in London, but again with the international game. Broncos, Jets. Broncos favored by 7, 43.5. Aaron, since this is your team, take it away.
Yeah, London kickoff here with my guys, Bo Nix, Sean Payne, Denver Broncos, getting a perfect matchup, as would appear on paper, against the New York Jets. The only thing I'm worried about this game is the jet lag, right? Going from Philadelphia to Denver, Denver to London. Outside of that, I'm not worried about this game. I'm not even worried about the 7 points. I'm taking the Broncos here to cover 7. Everybody scored 30 points against the Jets. The Broncos should do it here. And the Jets, if they can stop Fields from running the ball, because that's about the only offense right now that the Jets got. I'm not worried about Garrett Wilson against those top corners that the Broncos have. Give me the Broncos -7 here in London.
Jay-Z.
Yep, going to agree with Aaron on this one. I think the Broncos just really finding their stride, you know, a tough win, you know, pulling it out against a tough team in the Eagles. But the Jets, you know, we talked about a bunch, you know, 0-5. They've kept games close. But the Broncos, I think we expected a lot at the beginning of the season. And, you know, rough first couple weeks, still finding themselves. Bo Nix still kind of progressing. But as Aaron mentioned, the Jets just give up a ton of points. And I think this is where you see a little bit more of a breakout there. The Denver defense, pretty good too. If you're looking at the spread too, we got this thing at 7 in Circa right now. It opened, I think, at 7.5. We have it 7. I think it's down to 6.5 in some books. So everyone's pouncing on the Jets. But I just think right now, I think the Broncos take care of business.
Nice. I'm going to agree with you guys. Usually I do opposite for international games, and it usually pans out pretty well. I just don't trust the Jets at all. Broncos, I think they're trying to hit their stride. They're going to go on a little run. I think we talked about their next 5 games or so. If they do trip up, I wouldn't be surprised if it is, because it is in England. But I don't think it's going to happen, so I'll be with you guys. Broncos. 7's a lot, though, but I really have no reason to trust Jets to do anything otherwise. All right, back to normal scheduling on Sunday. Browns visiting the Steelers. Steelers favored by 5.5. 38.5 over under. I think it's the lowest of the week. It is by a wide margin. Jason, who you got?
Man, this week overall, just a lot of real inconvenient lines, I'll say, at this point when you're going to, like, just bigger lines out there for games that I'm not sure, you know, what teams are going to produce offensively, where you get a feeling whatever. I mean, this would be, I think, the stay away week, bro. I mean, you always want to stay away. There's a ton of these, like, awkward lines. This is one of them too. Steelers are 3-1 here, Rome, but there are 3 wins, you know, 2-point win against the Jets in week 1, loss to the Seahawks, big 7-point touchdown win over the Patriots, and then a 3-point win against the Vikings. I don't know if they got it in them to get, you know, more than a 5.5-point win. On the flip side, the Browns seemingly in most of these games right now as they're kind of going through, but, you know, they end up losing. They got blown out by the Lions, but they got the win against the Packers. They kept it close to the Bengals in week 1, the Vikings. My only thing about this is right now is, like, what is the overall, like, quarterback picture with this team? And, you know, are they going to start trading people and Stefanski? And we're always talking about his job security. I'm not loving it, but I'll take the Steelers -5.5.
All right. There we go. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns, you know, we talked about they traded Joe Flacco away to their rival, Cincinnati Bengals. Browns coming in from London, now a road trip against the Steelers in Pittsburgh, who's coming off a bye. Pittsburgh looks like they're going to be about Jalen Ramsey. He looks like he's going to be off a hamstring. Calvin Austin looks like he's going to miss this game too. The number's high. It's six at some places now. The public is betting the Steelers. Therefore, I'm going the opposite. I like the Browns here plus 5.5. Tough divisional game. I think it's a grind it out. Steelers win. Close one, like they've won all their games. But I like the Browns to cover 5.5.
Nice. Yeah, this line's a little weird. I'm kind of surprised it's 5.5. Typically, this line would be like 3.5, 3 years past. Steelers are coming off a bye. They haven't looked great, or at least overwhelmingly great in all the games, but they are winning. I think it's just different with Rodgers underneath center. I'm kind of buying into that leadership a little bit. The Steelers' defense has not been great either. They kind of shown some promises here and there. They did really well the week prior, and I think they're going to do a little bit more when they're facing a rookie quarterback. I typically would take the Browns, but I'm going to be with Jason on this one. I'm taking the Steelers, and I think they win by at least a touchdown. It's going to be a different feel. These are the games. Steelers are pretty – they've laid eggs on these games early in the season against division rivals, and then they go get revenge later on. I think it's going to be the opposite this time around. Browns have a lot of turnover, and the defense is kind of scary, but I just believe that much more in what the Steelers got going on. I'm leaning Steelers with the points. Steelers win either way, but I would be really tempted to take the points. So 5.5 is kind of tempting. Typically, these are like 2-3 point games anyways between these two guys. We'll see what happens. Cardinals, Colts. Colts favored by 7 points. Cardinals infamously losing every game by a winning field goal by the opposing team. Aaron, who you got?
Well, Rome, you're not going to have to worry about them losing by a field goal in this one because they're going to lose by more than that in this game. I mean, I don't even know if Kyler Murray's going to play. I mean, he hasn't practiced. He's got a bad foot.
Is he injured?
He's a little banged up. You know, he was part of that when they kind of that snap where he didn't dive, went back to the tent locker room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's got a foot issue. Not sure what it is. Cardinals fine Jonathan Gannon. I don't know. We talked about that. $100,000 for the sideline rant. Which,
Jason didn't think much of it, but what'd you think of it?
I mean, I think the fine is ridiculous. I mean, your job as a coach, when you do something that stupid, I mean, when are you going to just go over there and just pat the guy in the head and be like, hey, get him next time? It's not an effort play. That's just a dummy play. So, I mean, $100,000, they find the coach. I think the Cardinals organization's a mess. They're going to play maybe the hottest team right now in the NFL in the Colts. I like the Colts to win big here again, so I'm going to take the Colts -7.
Jason.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Aaron. The fine was ridiculous. 100% agree with him, whether he went overboard or not. Like it was a dummy play. It wasn't anything, a lack of effort or anything like that. It literally was the turning point that cost him the game. And I said this in the last pod. It could be the turning point that really cost him the season and cost Jonathan Gannon his job. So compared to a year, we're about a year ago from the Hail Mary with the Bears, where it's just the season unraveled. These are turning points in the season that you never get back from. So now if you got a questionable Kyler Murray, you got a team that basically just deflated the entire room. You're the worst team in the division pretty much at this point, and you're going against the best team in the league probably right now. Aaron's guy Steichen has sold me on what he can do with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Jonathan Taylor, you know, huge portion there. You've seen Pittman step up in some big places. The defense has been really solid. I agree with Aaron. I think it's probably tend to be closer to a blowout than it is close. You know, give me the Colts as well.
Aaron, you should really consider being a used car salesman because you can sell Jason anything, dog.
I'm not selling. Jason put on the tape and he sees what Steichen and those guys are doing. The tape sells itself.
So
I'm just giving you an introduction. The tape sells itself.
You guys are in the minority about the whole hit because a lot of people are going crazy about it. A lot of people are upset that he did not get fired. That's like a lot of former professionals, analysts, they wanted Gannon out of there. They thought I was way overboard. Probably didn't look as good as it came off. There's rumors that he's losing the locker room. He had a big apology and he's still apologizing for it, which that is very concerning. That might have been the turning point. That might have been the Chicago Bears Hail Mary against the the Commanders. Who knows? We're going to find out in the next coming weeks.
I mean, I'd say it honestly is worse because, I mean, a Hail Mary is, you know,
respectable.
Anything can happen. I mean, literally, all you have to do is go another a foot more, really, realistically, with nobody pressuring you. I mean, yeah, Snead was coming behind, but he wasn't going to knock the ball out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Hail Mary's been happening. Hail Mary's been happening forever. I mean, it made Doug Flutie famous. So, yeah.
Nice. 7 points is a lot. I do expect the Cardinals will still show up. I'm not sure if this is like one of those weird Kyler Murray games where he actually looks competent again. But they are banged up. I don't know who's going to be running the ball this week. Because it's going to be by committee. But I'm going to agree with you guys. The Colts are great. They look pretty unstoppable right now. And they don't look like a team that's going to let off the pedal either. They're not like a really great team, which makes me think they're not going to take this game off versus like a Cardinals team. Next game. I will take the over, though. I think it's going to go over. I think Cardinals, this might be like a 35-21 type of game. All right. Rams, Ravens. Rams here by 7.5 on the road against the much ravaged Ravens. 44.5 over under. Jason.
I don't want to make this mistake 2 weeks in a row, but according to what I've seen, Lamar is questionable for Sunday.
He's not supposed to.
I believe he's out. Yeah, he's not practicing, so he's going to be out.
All right, then I'll say this. With Lamar out and as bad as this offense looks, and the injury report for the Ravens, like I can barely find Lamar because of how many people are on this injury report for the defense alone for the Ravens. It's a ton of points here too, but the Ravens have looked lifeless. I don't know how you get this thing corrected. They're not giving the ball you know, to Derrick Henry as much as you probably see with Cooper Rush in there. I expected way more from Cooper Rush against, you know, average Texans team. They couldn't even get it. You know, the defense that they had couldn't even get after a bad Texans O-line. This Rams team is much better coached. 7.5 is a lot of points. I don't love it, but I just think with Lamar out, this team really doesn't have much of an identity offensively and a defense that can't stop, you know, a pretty creative McVay and Stafford offense. So I'll take the Rams minus 7.5.
Aaron.
Yeah, it's a tricky game. I mean, Lamar Jackson's out. I don't even know if Cooper Rush is getting the start. I mean, I've heard rumors that they might go back to Tyler Huntley. So he may get in there. I don't know. I mean, they're evaluating the quarterback. I mean, they're Lamar banged Jr. up. You know, I saw yesterday a headline that Mark Andrews is rumored to be on the trading block.
Really?
So yeah, that's they've got tons of injuries on defense. Hamilton might be back at safety. They just made a trade with the Chargers 2 days ago, in which they got their starting safety, but traded one of their rotational main defensive ends away. Everything I've seen from the Ravens on defense is just bad. And now you get McVay and these guys in the Rams are going to be really, really disappointed after that loss against the 49ers. I mean, 7.5 is a lot to lay here, but feels like a trap, but I got to go over the Rams. I just haven't seen enough from the Ravens for me to feel comfortable to back them in a spot like this. I mean, if Lamar was playing this game, the Ravens are probably, you know, a 2-point dog, maybe a 1.5. He's worth almost a touchdown in this league. I'm going to take the Rams. I think they're just going to do enough. They got a good defense. They can stop Henry with that front four. And with not a real competent quarterback right now behind center, it's hard to back the Ravens here. I'll take the Rams minus 7.5.
Yeah, I think it's getting very uncomfortable in Baltimore. This is a trap game. This is a stay away. Rams are going to want to do a revenge, but they are traveling to Baltimore. It's a pretty hostile environment. It's not an easy place to play. I think the Ravens are going to show up, man. It's a lot of pent-up tension. They got to show up somehow. Even if it's in losing fashion, I think they're going to be really competitive. If it's Cooper Rush or Tyler Huntley, I think we're going to kind of get the same game. I expect a better game from Rush. Huntley has performed really well in relief in years past. I have a little more confidence in him. We'll see how it goes. But I want to take the Ravens with the points here. I like them to cover. I like to keep it within a touchdown. I like the hook on that on this one. Would not be surprised if it goes the opposite way, right? I just don't want to be like a clean anonymous pick here. Take the Ravens, and we'll see what happens. Ravens plus 7.5. Seahawks, Jags. This is a pick 'em. 47.5 over under. Jason.
I'm going back to back starting on this one. All right, cool.
Oh, did I? Oh, my bad.
It's okay. I'll lead off again in this one. That's okay. Yeah, man. Dude, the Jags just Man, such an emotional win on Monday night. You know, just it's one of those kind of games where, you know, you don't, the atmosphere in Jacksonville just seems kind of not like Jacksonville in that game because of the crowd is super in the game. It's not something you kind of always see, even as much as the Chiefs kind of flocked to that game. And the Chiefs kind of had found themselves a little bit in the weeks kind of leading up. And now you get this big win for Jacksonville, kind of just the crazy, the finish that was there. Now propelling yourself forward into this game versus the Seahawks. The travel in this game, we probably talk about travel more than any other podcast out there of what you're going to go, but you're talking about going all the way from, is there a longer flight from the Pacific Northwest down to Florida? I don't know in the league if there's a longer one there. That a little bit worries me in that there. And so you also had, I think, DeMarcus Lawrence and Julian Love and some other people that are did not practice throughout the week for the Seahawks on defense. Could be there. It's a tough game. It's a pick 'em for reason. Go either way. I'm going to take the Jags just because they're at home.
Yeah, Jason Mitch. I mean, Seattle's got a ton of injuries. We've always talked about travel. I don't think there's a, you know, from going from Seattle to Jacksonville, that's probably the furthest flight you can make right now. And it's a 10 a.m. start. So you got all that travel. You got an early start. Seattle's won, what, 8 in a row on the road, I believe it is. We talked about it. They can win on the road, but they can't win at home. Jacksonville coming off an emotional win. But if you go back and look at last week's film, they couldn't stop Tampa Bay's offense. Who's the one that orchestrated that Tampa offense? Liam Cohen. I think they run similar stuff. I think they have similar success. I like Jacksonville at home. Keep riding that wave. Ride that momentum. Too many injuries on Seattle's defense for them. And I think Jacksonville has enough playmakers on offense to make them pay. Close game, but I like Jacksonville here at home.
Nice. I'm in between both of you guys here. Seahawks play a lot better on the road. I think Jacksonville's feeling a little bit up on themselves from getting the win against KC when KC dominated that game. There's been a few victories I just feel like the Jaguars should not have won. This is a really inflated 4-1. That's why they did not make my power rankings in the top eight. Seahawks, injuries or not, just better coached, better talent all around. I think they're going to show up. I think 10 a.m. is great. I think they're going to enjoy that beautiful Jacksonville weather, and they're going to do what they do, and that's be Vikings and conquer on the road here. I'm going to go with the Seahawks on this one.
Seahawk is going to be a Viking on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, that was okay. Like the, you know, because the Vikings, they pillage on the road.
You know, Jason, Rome gives us a lot of shit for, like, hating on teams, but this guy hates Liam Cohen. He just keeps whipping his ass every week. So, Rome, keep fading him, and we'll keep taking the W's off you. Give us the Jags.
I will. Sounds good. They're not a good 4-1 team, dude. Sorry.
They are a good 4-1 team.
Cowboys.
You don't beat the 49ers and Chiefs back-to-back weeks and not be a good 4-1 team. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The 49er win was a good one. They got lucky to escape when everyone's just standing still in the Chiefs and letting, you know, Lawrence breakdance his way into the end zone. It was just ridiculous.
Hey, they defeated the Chiefs and the refs in that game, all right? The refs, yeah, you know, that's true. The phantom PI call. I don't know about the goal line fumble. A lot of questions about that one that happened for the Jags. So Jags are persevering. I don't know if the Chiefs really dominated that game as much as you say.
Cowboys, Panthers, Cowboys favored by 3 on the road. Really interesting. That's only 3. 49.5 over under. So they're expecting some shootout here. Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers, I want to say they're undefeated at home, right? They beat Atlanta, and last week they beat the Dolphins. Cowboys coming off really two impressive games going back to that Green Bay Sunday tie. They lit up the Jets. Carolina fell behind 17-0 against the Dolphins and then basically ran the ball down their throats for over, 200 yards in that game. Panthers aren't a good football team. Cowboys, I think, are starting to figure things out. At least offensively, they've looked really good. Defensively, I think they match up well with Carolina. I mean, Bryce Young, even when he's throwing the ball okay, I don't even think he's thrown a game for over 200 yards yet in a game this year. The line is low. But I'm going to take the Cowboys here. I like the Cowboys -3. I think they got the playmakers on offense. Dak's not turning the ball over. I think they can force Bryce Young into a turnover too. Cowboys win this game by 6 or 7 points. I'll take the Cowboys -3.
Jason.
This has been a very ugly trend this whole week, but I'm going to agree with Aaron on this one too, because I think since the loss of the Bears, the tie versus Green Bay, you saw something a little extra out of this Cowboys team last week, obviously with the big win. And the offense, yeah, they've been able to get out and refine without CD. They've been able to spread the ball. Ferguson's been a huge target for them. Pickens has stepped up in a big way. I think Javonta Williams has really been, you know, a big surprise to a lot of people. I know for him, I drafted in a ton of fantasy leagues. That was kind of a sleeper pick that I brought in. And I think he's been a good piece for them in the running game. So yeah, the Panthers, I just, they're beyond that win, which I still can't explain. The 30-0 win over the Falcons. I just really, that's a Sunday that football just did football, I guess. And then this win versus the Dolphins, you know, was good. But I mean, the Dolphins team is just reeling. I don't think the Panthers are much good either. I think the Cowboys have been playing better than the thing. I think 3 points is pretty generous. So I think the Cowboys are a little bit better than that. So I think they easily cover that 3.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys offense. So I'm going with them as well. What worries me though, that this feels kind of like a stay away, just mainly because the Panthers ran the ball really well and both of their victories. And I don't know what version is going to show up on offense. Defense is not going to be great on either side of the ball. But since the Cowboys can't really stop a run game anyways, can the Panthers overcome that and make this a shootout where they're winning at the end and they're benefiting by 3 points? I'm not really sure. I think they have a chance to win this game, but I'm reluctantly going with the Cowboys, but I don't really feel overly confident about it either. It's going to be loud in Carolina. Chargers, Dolphins, Chargers favored by 4 on the road. We have a lot of favorites on the road so far. That's what it seems like. 43.5 over under. Chargers trying to recover from back-to-back losses. Jason. Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this game. I mean, I think the line when it initially came out early in the week was like Dolphins were getting 5.5. So
that's what I thought.
They got bet down to 4. So the, you know, Sharps money came in early on them. I mean, Chargers have struggled these last 2 weeks. We've talked about the offensive line issues, but their defense really let them down last week against Washington. They got out to a 10-0 lead. Jaden Daniels and those guys got hot. Chargers have lost 2 games against Dart Daniels, which are really kind of mobile quarterbacks that we've seen can give this defense problems. Tua's not that kind of guy. There's no Tyreek Hill, but Darren Waller's come around. He's done good. But we just saw this Dolphins defense get gassed for, 200-plus yards by one guy rushing from Carolina. I don't even know who really the running backs are for the Chargers now. It's nobody who's on anybody's fantasy boards coming into the season. I think it's Vidal and Haskins.
Yep, those are the 2 big ads of the week.
Yeah, so, I mean, I still – and the Chargers haven't been running the ball well to begin with, so maybe that's something they're going to do. I think the Chargers and Harbaugh and these guys bounce back. Not comfortable taking it, but I'm going to say the Chargers come back here. I think the defense steps up because they're mentoring those – he's going to have those guys better after a bad week. I'm going to take the Chargers -4.
Wow. Jason.
I'm going to agree with Aaron. It's a weird line, but I think the for me, I for the entire year has been the Dolphins secondary going into the year that I just thought was totally suspect. And I think Justin Herbert's got 3 really good targets out there as Johnson's been a huge revelation. Keenan Allen with his comeback tour this year. Really haven't seen a ton of Ladd McConkey. Hasn't really put it the big game together. I just think there's too many weapons on the outside for the Chargers that even if the running game can't get going, I don't think the matchups favor the secondary with the Dolphins because I think it's been suspect all year and there's been some exposure there, and I think they can really find some things in the secondary. So, yeah, I'll agree with Aaron on this one as well. Chargers -4.
I'll just write Aaron's answers for yours from here on out.
All right. Shots fired. I get it. All right.
I think we're going to have a few afternoon games different and maybe a Monday night or two, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
This guy gets one like winning week out of here and all of a sudden he's just talking about all these wins he's got and everything. He's like one game better than us. That's like, that's it. So
hate the player. Don't hate the game, bro. Win a week.
He has won a week.
Won week one.
Week one. Yeah.
The most important week when you didn't have any information, I won.
Yeah. All right. We'll go to the next game here.
Wait, Rome, who do you got? Chargers or Dolphins?
Oh, I expect the Chargers to bounce back.
Oh, okay. So we'll just put your name down for Aaron's picks too. Got it. All right. Just want to make sure how this other works. Yeah. See, this is how I, you know, Aaron, I don't go back and look at the tape. So Rome apparently does, but there's a couple of these games every week where we're picking, we're talking it through, having good conversation. And I never know which way Rome kind of picks. And so when he wins these games, I'm not saying he's cheating or anything, but like he almost gives both answers when he kind of walks through this thing. And so, you know, we might need like some independent, like, you know, investigator to go through and really double check where what this pick standing is at this point.
Real quick, man. Like, just like your college games was not in order. What's up with your Circa Millions printout not being in order as well?
I don't put these lines together, Rome.
You got.
Don't give me shit for this. I don't put these lines together.
A different order. You got a 125 game before a 105 game.
I noticed
then
that.
The 10
I don't know.
Game.
I don't know why they did that this week.
It's like, what? Is it wrong or is it right? Those game times. Is the 49ers
the game times
Bucks...
are right. The game times are right.
Got it.
They all just, right. I don't know. This is a print that gets sent out that Circa puts on their website. So it's not me.
It hasn't
Circa.
Happened before, but it's just so funny that your college games also had,
you know,
a mix up.
Maybe they listen to the show. They like the mix up and they just want to follow. I don't know.
All right. So we'll jump to the Pats Saints. Pats favored by 3.5, 45.5 over under for the last morning game this Sunday. Jason, who do you got?
It's a disturbing trend. I've taken all favorites and I'm going to take another favorite. I'm going to take the Patriots this one. I'm not going to love this one either because we talked about it like the last couple of weeks. Weird things happen in New Orleans, but still, this New Orleans team is pretty bad. But man, Drake May in this last week, you know, versus the Bills, really found something. Wow. I think Henderson on the ground, we start getting him the ball a little more because, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, I don't know what, you know, puts the ball on the ground a lot. I think there's some, you know, they can get a little more out of Henderson in the run game. I'll take the Patriots on this one, Rome.
Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, the 3.5's tricky. It's New Orleans. You want to take the Saints.
Yeah.
But I'm going to agree with Jason. I'm going to go Patriots here. I like the way they looked on Sunday. It feels like it could be a letdown spot, but I think Mike Vrabel's kind of building this team up. They should be 4-1. We mentioned they had 5 turnovers against the Steelers, cost them a game. The Saints maybe don't win last week against the Giants, if the Giants don't get 5 turnovers. Drake Mays look good. This defense is healthy. You know, I'm going to take the Patriots here as well, -3.5. Feels like a 5-6-point win here by them. I think as long as they don't turn the ball over, Trayvon Henderson will get the run game going. We saw some, you know, Drake May, he can get out of the pocket. He can extend plays. He can make some sideline throws. Tough not to like the Patriots here, 3.5. The line feels low. It should be 5. I believe it should be 5. So I think we're getting a discount here with the Patriots still. Take them.
Yeah, this is a new Vrabel team. He's still implementing a lot of things and kind of coaching and doing a little play calling differently than what he did in Tennessee, which is kind of unique. Because I'm surprised you guys didn't take the Saints because you guys didn't pick in the Saints as like underdogs for like a lot of things, saying like weird shit happens over there. Pats had a big win last week against the Bills. I don't know. I'm going with the Pats as well. It's just I'm kind of really curious like how the Saints respond to getting their first victory of the year against a pretty entertaining, maybe not a good team, but a really entertaining Giants team. And they're still in the Superdome. I expect vibes to be really high, but we'll see. If Vrabel and the team can win this one and win it convincingly, then you know his imprint is starting to make its way really deep into the Patriots organization. That only means good things and bad things for everybody else in that division. So this can be really telling. I think although the Saints aren't a great team, this can be a really pivotal game for us to know like whether the Pats are for real or not. They cannot let this down, you know, if they're taking the strides to become who they want to become. If that makes sense. All right. Afternoon games, Titans, Raiders. Raiders favored by 4.5. At home in Las Vegas, 41.5 over under. Aaron, who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, you got 2 bad 1-4 teams here. But the Titans, I mean, let's just be realistic. They had no business winning last week or even covering that spread. And it was, what, 7.5 last week against Arizona. I know the Raiders have looked bad, but I think the Raiders have acknowledged that they're bad. I think they're going to clean some stuff up this week. They've actually played pretty well at home. I mean, If they don't get that blocked field goal by Jason's Bears, maybe they win it. They got a good kicker at home. I'm going to take the Raiders here, minus 4.5. Tennessee making 2 back-to-back trips to the desert. I think we talk about travel like we said it all this time, but the Titans are dookie. They're bad, dude. They're just bad. I think Geno's going to have a decent game. Genty's going to have a good game. The Raiders defense will make a play or two. I like the Raiders minus 4.5 here.
Jason.
Yep. Agree with Aaron. Yeah, I'm sorry, Romer.
It's fine.
I just got to let it there.
It's fine.
The Titans are not doing this 2 weeks in a row. And I picked the Raiders last week. Obviously looked like an idiot there because they got blown out by the Colts. But there is something there with the Raiders. It's not perfect. They're still not a great team. But, you know, they found a little something with Genty. Obviously, Crosby on the defense, you know, is a difference maker. I think he's probably going to wreak havoc here on this subpar Titans offensive line and what they can do offensively there. Geno has not been great. That's probably the most concerning thing going into this game. 9 interceptions so far this year. Has he lost it? We talked a little bit about there. I still think he's got something left in the tank. This was a guy who's kind of, you know, it was what, three years ago or so. It was just, you know, whenever he came out and took the starting job over, he was throwing 30 something touchdowns. So he hasn't forgotten how to play. I think there's something there against a bad Titans team. I'll take the Raiders.
I'm really tempted to take the Titans with the 4.5 just because they're both really bad. But Titans just came off a really remarkable win. And just for the sake of like Raiders being due, they're just due. It's just, you know, I just like to do these bets where it's kind of like a feel thing, right? They've already had so many shitty games. At least they got Genty playing well, Crosby. They have elements there. The press conference after their last loss, everyone was pretty defeated. You got Tom Brady, everybody. They got to wake the fuck up. And this is it. This is week 6. If they don't win this one, I'm going against them for the rest of the year, no matter what. Raiders by 4.5. But I think it's kind of tempting. I think this could be a four to a 6-point game here. So it's really riding that fine line. Next game, Bengals, Packers. I think this is the biggest line we've had of the year. I can't remember. I think the previous one was 13.5. Don't remember. Maybe 15, or maybe that's just me tripping out. But 14.5 favorites packs against the Bengals. Bengals flocking out their newly minted 40-year-old quarterback, Joe Flacco. Who has not looked great with the Browns, but can Gold strike twice, and can he take down the pack again, this time in Green Bay? Over unders 44.5. Aaron, since this is your team, one of your teams, give us the juice. Give us the cheese.
Yeah, man. What kind of cheese you want, man? We got different kinds over here. Look, Packers coming off that tie. I mean, the only quarterback to beat him this year, Romy mentioned right off the bat, there was Joe Flacco. Can he do it twice to the Packers? He just got into town. I think he's still unpacking his suitcases right now at Cincinnati and introducing himself. You know, he might be, for some of the rookies there, he might be old enough to be their dad, just depending on who they are.
It's like an hour flight or hour and a half, if that.
Yeah, he took an Uber. I heard he took an Uber. Sources told me. Yeah, that's what the sources told me. One of those nice Escalade Ubers came and picked them up. But yeah, Packers coming off the bye. Here's one thing we know about Green Bay. They played 2 games at home. They've been dominant at home against the Lions and against the Commanders. 14.5 seems like a lot of points. It is, but I'm going to take the Packers minus 14.5.
Fuck.
I think the defense is going to have a good game. Jason said it last week that Cincinnati can't stop anybody. I thought their defense actually played pretty well, even though they gave up 38 points, considering what Jake Browning did, pitting him in bad spots.
Yeah.
But two weeks for Matt LaFleur to basically get this team ready, practice, get them refocused. Bye, right? I like the Packers minus 14.5. Maybe the Bengals get a backdoor cover, but I haven't seen really anything in Cincinnati that gives me praise that they can. I'm not even sure Joe Flacco is the answer. We've talked about other options being there at the quarterback. Cincinnati looks like a lost cause. This might be we might be calling Cincinnati dead again here in week 6 like we did last year when they had a bad start. I'm going to take the Packers here at home.
Dude, I have to look back at Cincinnati's games right now real quick just because I'm just drawing a blank on how they played.
They got blown out loss against Minnesota, blown out loss against Denver, almost a backdoor cover against the Lions last week, Rome.
That is true. But that was at home, though.
Yeah.
What's the weather like in Green Bay this week?
Probably should be okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's tough. Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of points. And I think we talked, was it a couple weeks ago, we had that Bills game, and the Bills didn't come close to covering against the Saints. But I think two things for this to me that are having me leaning, wanting to pick the Packers. One, off the bye week. They've had all the preparation, able to tighten things up after not an impressive showing. It's a game they probably should have won against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Two, I don't like the idea of just getting a quarterback and plugging him straight in. I think there's a lot of positions inside football that you can plug and play and understand offense and stuff. Like, I don't think quarterback's one of them. And I don't know, I'm not expert enough in Zach Taylor's system to understand how close that is to Stefanski's offense, but that's just not setting something up for success. And this offensive line isn't already a great, I thought there were some great tweets out there that putting Joe Flacco behind this offensive line should be considered elder abuse at a certain point. And, but the defense overall too, at the same time, they've given up a ton of points, and I don't know if the offense is going to be able to put it together. So I'll reluctantly take the Packers 14.5 as well.
Damn, dude, this is a tough one here. Just trying to look up. I meant to look this up earlier with like the biggest spreads. I can't remember what's a stat. There's like a certain stat when it's between like 8 and like 12 points. It's not great with the spread, but when it's like this much, I think it's actually pretty favorable.
I want to say off the top of my head, I would almost willing to bet. I think any spread that's probably 2 touchdowns or more, the favorite probably covers 55% to 60%, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was something.
I mean,
like,
the game Jason was talking about was when the Saints were getting 15.5 against Buffalo like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So.
Man, Bengals. Joe Flacco. That's tough. This is really tough. You know, I didn't really look at the spread properly. Pack win for sure, right? They're coming off some disappointing performances. I think the bye week gives them a chance to kind of implement their defense a little bit more. Parsons, he didn't look great either in the last few games.
Just take the Bengals, Rome. I know you want
to. I kind of want to take the points on this one. Let me circle back on this one. I'm just going to sit on this one for a little bit.
Write that in your notes. In your notes. Circle back.
Sit on this one. It's a loss if you don't get a pick in by the end of the show.
Yeah, next game we have... this is where it jumps around, right?
Go to the top.
You got to go back up.
Yeah, I think I wrote the wrong over-unders for this one.
Niners-Bucks.
Niners-Bucks. Yeah, Bucks 3-point favorites, 47.5 over-under. I think I wrote them backwards on my list. So, Jason, go ahead.
Yeah, interesting line here. On a Thursday night, I don't love the Niners injury situation right now because I have zero idea who's playing quarterback for this team right now. I mean, Purdy's
It's going to be Mac Jones, I believe.
Did they say Mac Jones? Okay.
Purdy's not Mac Jones practice. Another week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Purdy, I guess, was seen running in cleats and stuff, I think, today or something like that. So
they were talking about him possibly going to IR, but they don't want to put him on the IR. Like, that's how he's not coming back for another week or two.
Makes sense. For me, that scares me to pick the 49ers, but what I will say, what is going to make me pick the Niners is the Bucks playing a bunch of close games. They haven't beat anyone in their 4 wins by more than 3 points. So 3 points is their biggest margin of win so far this year. The Niners and Kyle Shanahan just figure out a way to get things moving on offense and find different ways. I think Pearsall is going to be back this week. McCaffrey, obviously big in this game. You know, Mac Jones has looked good. I had a Niners friend of mine text me, do you think we can trade Mac Jones for a first round pick? So obviously no, but that's what you're talking about. The type of
didn't Mac Jones get traded last year for like a 6th round pick, and now he's up to a 1st round pick?
Yeah,
I guess this is a Niners fan talking
That's a flip.
Yeah. Regardless, I just think that the Bucks play these close games. I think you're giving me 3 points. I've picked all favorites so far. Maybe this is going against my week 6 strategy right now, but I'll take the Niners in the 3 points.
Nice, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay, every game they've won this year, they've come back in the 4th quarter. this feels like it's going to be a close game. I'm in agreeance. I'm taking the 49ers plus three. I believe we haven't had a push yet. This might be one of those games where we finally get one.
Yeah.
Whoever was getting points in this matchup, that's what I would go with. Mac Jones has looked good. You know, Ricky Purcell's back. I think Juwan Jennings is back. So the Niners are getting a little more healthy. We know what they can do in the run game with Robinson and McCaffrey. I mean, Tampa, they're getting a little more healthy too. I think it's going to be a tough game, competitive game. It feels like one of those field goal kick victory type games. I'm going to take the points here. Give me the Niners plus three.
Yeah, two 4-1 teams, as you guys have mentioned. Bucks have come out on top, aside from the Eagles game. They were charging back in the fourth quarter. Every victory has been 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, and then 3 points. That's why I took the Bucks on the road last time, because at least they were getting 3 points. Nice to have on your back pocket. Same thing for this one. You got to imagine it's going to be pretty close. 49ers might be, even though they're injured, besides the Eagles, I think, this can be like another good test at home. Expect it to be really close. I think Bucks still win, but I take the Niners with the points. I think that's a good call. Next game. What else do we got? The Sunday night game.
We got your Lions, Rome.
Lions and the Chiefs. Chiefs here by 2 points. 52.5. Over under. Aaron, take it away.
Big game here for Kansas City, right? Going after that Monday night loss, where they 2-3. Detroit comes in winning 4 in a row. Kansas City, I'm taking the Chiefs here. I think Kansas City offensively has figured some things out here in the last 2.5 games. But more importantly, I think their defense, which has let them down last week. You talked about Chris Jones and everybody, the effort there on that last play. I think it's going to be a motivated group.
Yeah.
And this is a defense that plays better at home. The crowd is loud. They can audible to a lot of, they can check to a lot of blitzes. Goff doesn't move well. I think this is one of the games that Jason's always called where Goff just shows up with 3 or 4 picks. This is that game. I like Kansas City at home. Mahomes and the guys get back to 500.
Nice. Jason, I'll just mark you down for Casey as well.
Yep, it's there. Aaron already stole my slumber with it. And, you know, it's going to be a rough place to play. I don't know if it's going to be a full-on four-interception Goff game, but I do think the Chiefs have found a little something, especially after the way they lost that Monday night game. They know they got to come out and show up here. If it's only 2 points, I think that's easy. They cover that over a field goal, if not more. The Lions obviously have looked great since week one of the season, but, you know, defensively they gave up 24, probably some garbage time against the Bengals. The Ravens, you know, they gave up 30 against them and Lamar Jackson, so they shut down the Browns. But, I mean, there's been some questions with this defense so far. Last year they had a ton of injuries on the defensive front, and they still were finding ways to win. I think the Chiefs got a few weapons here that'll make this more competitive, and I agree with Aaron on this. I like the Chiefs.
Nice. I'll go opposite. I like the 2 additional points for the Lions. I think they ultimately win, but if it is a close one, I don't really see the Chiefs winning by more than a field goal. So keep it close, 2 points just in case, maybe make it a push. But this is going to go hell over 52.5. This is going to be ugly. I don't think the defense is going to really play much of a factor in this game. I really don't see it, so I'll take the Lions. Monday night, we have another doubleheader on Monday. My favorite, as I've talked about many times on this pod. First game Monday night is Bills 4.5 favorites over the Falcons 49.5. Jason.
I really don't like this Falcons team. I really don't know what to do week to week with them. You look at their week 2 loss to the Vikings that made very little sense. I'm sorry. They won. They beat the Vikings.
Yeah.
Then they followed up with a
Carolina.
Can't explain this Carolina loss. I still don't understand it. Then they beat the Commanders. And now kind of sitting this going into this week. The Bills, though, Aaron brought this up. I've been on the Bills, but this is one of the games I think is going to be a challenge for the Bills going into Atlanta. I guess the only reason you're picking the Bills at this point is because the inconsistency of the Falcons and then losing that game the way they did to New England on Sunday night probably is a certain taste in their mouth on this. I'll reluctantly take the Bills at 4.5, just knowing I don't know what to expect from Atlanta. And I think Penix has been a little too inconsistent. And this is a, hey, this is a team that's going to be battling for Super Bowls. They need to show up.
Aaron.
Yeah, big game. I mean, Atlanta, you know, that 30-0 loss against Carolina, I can't explain it. I mean, I still don't even believe it. You can show me the score 1,000 times. I still don't believe it. But they're coming off a bye. They're coming off a bye week. They're 2-2.
Yeah.
This is Buffalo's first road game in a month. They played 3 straight home games. The only road game they played was against the Jets. They're coming off a Sunday night loss, their first of the year. I think the Bills fall in the same trap as the Eagles. Eagles lost Sunday home, lost on the road. I like Atlanta to win outright here. I think Atlanta's got a good spot here to win. 4.5 is a lot of points. I like them to cover. I like them to win. Give me the Falcons. I think Penix and the Falcons finally get that big, big primetime win. And the Patriots at the end of the weekend are in first place in that division.
Yeah, my biggest question mark in this game is the Bills' defense. And then just the Bills, they're obviously working through some new things right now. But I do think it's going to be a really intense environment there. Last time they let me down by getting demolished by the Carolina Panthers. But coming off a bye, I do expect them to respond. I like the 4.5 points. In my opinion, this might be a 3 or 4 point win victory by the Bills anyways. If they do come out on top, possibility for an upset, this is definitely on there. Bills are on upset alert. They got to be very careful, but this can be a shootout. If Bills win, it's not going to be more than 4 points. Give me the Falcons with the 4.5. Next game, we have Bears and the Commanders. Love it. Love it in Washington or wherever the hell they play. They don't play in Washington. Where do they play? Maryland? Maine?
Maryland. Maine's a little far.
There you go. I don't know. It's all the same. It's like an hour away, right?
Is there even 50,000 people in Maine now or what?
I don't even know. But yeah, Maine's still equitable. By the way, they play in the DMV. So
DMV. Love the DMV. All right. So Bears plus 4.5. Commanders minus 4.5. 49.5. Over under, just like the previous game, expect a shootout. Jason, since you wanted to be last time, I'll let Aaron go first for this one.
Yeah, it's a real interesting game. I mean, you've got the Bears. They're coming off the bye week. Commanders coming off the nice win against the Chargers. This is kind of the game last year. Jason's brought it up thousands of times that just broke the Bears' back, that just finished
I love that game.
Ooh. I'm still not sold on the Bears and Caleb and these guys going on the road to win. They were 1-8 before that last win against the Raiders. That game could have gone either way. They got the blocked field goal. This feels like a trap where they're telling me to take the Bears. I feel like I want to take the Bears, but I'm going to take the Commanders. I'm going to take Jaden Daniels and those guys at home. I think they're getting healthy. They're getting some guys back. So I'm taking the Commanders minus 4.5. I like them to get the job done here at home.
Should I go first before you go, Jason? You want?
Oh,
you
want? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
I'll go ahead.
Whatever you want to do. It's your show. I mean, whatever you want.
Give it to us.
I mean, Aaron's saying it feels like he should take the Bears because he should take the Bears plus 4.5 because he just said the Commanders are getting guys back. The Bears are getting guys back, all right? The Bears defense, I'll say, not great. But, hey, Kyler Gordon, they're going to get their starting nickelback back, all right? Maybe have TJ Edwards, a couple of these other guys back defensively. So the Bears defense is back. They had this team beat a year ago, and they got lucky, plain and simple. That's right at towards the end of the game. I think this film has been shown a ton of times to these guys in the locker room, particularly Tyreek Stevenson, who was the one most embarrassed for the Hail Mary last year when he was taunting the crowd, and then it went off his hands into the Washington receiver for the touchdown. Defense is going to be the biggest question for the Bears. Can they stop Jaden? I think, you know, they're not going to be able to stop him, but how do you control him? And I think Caleb going into what was his, I believe, home area here in Washington's got something to prove. They got the bye week, and Ben Johnson, first year head coach, great coaches come out of the bye week and they win. They get the extra week of preparation. Last week, the Commanders had to go all the way to LA to play the Chargers. They were a pretty solid Chargers team, pretty rough battle. I like the Bears. If you're going to give me 4.5 points as well.
Yeah, I've taken the Bears, I think, in most games versus both of you guys so far this year, even you, Jason. But I just can't do it. Jaden Daniels, I regretted not taking him last week. in LA. He looked really good. I think they're going to take another step. They're just starting to get primed up. They're starting to get warmed up here. It's going to be a nice homecoming. Everyone's going to be up for this game. I think it is going to be close. I'm really tempted to take the Bears with the points. I do like the Commanders to win. I'm reluctantly taking the Commanders with the 4.5, but it's such a crazy line just because I feel like it could be a field goal situation. This is more of a feel thing because I think it is going to be a shootout. I think over 49.5 is a safe bet. I think it might be 24-31, something like that, 24-27. I got Commanders in this one. And then just to recap back to the Bengals, Packers, I was just looking back at Joe Flacco's stats on the Bears. And
Flacco played for the Browns.
Browns, yeah, there you go.
He's played for a lot of teams, though, I understand.
Yeah.
His stats look like every other Bears quarterback for the past 20 years, is what you're saying, Rome.
That's fair. That's
I think that's what he meant to get to.
Yeah. So the stats at the end of the Bengals game last game looked really nice. Chase and everybody like that. It's just, does he have enough of the playbook to kind of step in and make a difference? I would typically, if the Packers were not coming off a bye week, I would be taking the Bengals to the points. But because the Packers are coming off a bye week and a couple of disappointing ties, losses, I think the Packers are going to show out right here. They really got to do it to kind of reclaim and let people know that they're serious for this year. They're a loaded team. It's at home. So I'll take the Packers there as well. All right. So that's all the games this week. Who's on bye this week?
Vikings and Texans?
It has to be someone else. No?
There is.
There's usually four teams every week. Do you guys like it when your team has a bye early in the season, like last week? Like, I'm not too crazy about the Steelers having a bye that early. Or do you like to have later in the season, like towards when's the last one? Like week 14?
I like it.
It is just the Texans and Vikings on a bye this week.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I generally like the later bye, but I think for the Bears, if you're looking at them, there's some injuries that are tied in. You know, the Packers were coming off a bad tie. I think it depends. You know where you're at in the season, but I don't know. It's weird. Week four was it week five last week? I mean, yes. it seems so early for a week five bye, and then you got teams going all the way to like week like 13 or 14 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think ideally you'd want to have your bye between the weeks 8 and 12 because that's kind of the midway point. But to Jason's point, like if your team's really banged up, I mean like a team like that Thursday night game for the 49ers and getting like that kind of mini bye,
yeah,
is perfect. Like if you gave them like a full-on bye, like some teams just need it, right? You got, you know, a couple linemen or maybe a quarterback running back out, get that extra week, get them healthy. So it kind of just depends on where your roster is, shape-wise, condition-wise, injury-wise. But ideally, you'd probably want to have it between weeks 8 and 12.
Speaking of that 49er game, a lot of people were upset here in the Bay Area because they thought Shanahan would have sat Purdy that game against Jacksonville and started Jones so he can have a healthy Purdy for the big game against the Rams. He did not do that. It happened to work out because Jones put up a career game for himself and looked really almost like Brett Favre-ish, right? Just getting hammered and just coming through in the clutch. But a lot of people not happy with how Shanahan has just ran through every quarterback and just driven them down to the ground. That's
49er fans, man, Rome. You're talking about they're not happy, but then Jason Scott's source is saying is now is Mac Jones worth a first round pick. So the Shanahan just gave you a first round pick, 49er fans, if you're listening to some of these guys out there. I don't know, dude. Rome, 49er fans have been hating on Kyle Shanahan. I mean, yeah, he's lost the big games, not necessarily all his fault, but the dude just wins with whoever's at quarterback. He's made a lot of guys some money. To Jason's point, I mean, if Mac Jones continues to play this well, do you think about shipping out Purdy? I don't know. I mean, it's a good mark, but give the guy his due, man. The guy wins football games.
He does well for the first 2 years of the quarterback, and then he drives into the ground, runs too much with them, and then picks up a new one. I'm not sure. All right. Any final thoughts on this week's lines?
Some big spreads this week, man. So we'll see. We'll see. Dead. Think this is.
I'm not feeling confident about this week.
I said it going at the top of the show, man. There's a lot of big lines. You're gonna have to, you know, this is the week where you probably see. I mean, we've already seen a really weird upset on the Thursday night game, so I won't be surprised one way or the other if a bunch of these blow out and then some of these just completely blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's always an upset or two that we don't see coming.
Today wasn't too surprising, I wouldn't say.
I think the final score and how bad it was.
Two touchdowns, yeah. That was surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, to not see that one coming. All right, cool. That'll do it for the Lions End. Be sure to catch us on the recap this upcoming Sunday or Monday. Sunday, maybe. Available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. We got some clips going out on the socials as well. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe. We've been getting a lot of traction on all our pages and on YouTube, so it's been pretty exciting to see the numbers.
No comments though on YouTube, Rome.
No comments but 8,000 people have viewed our content in the past 2 weeks, so big hike. So pretty exciting, but yeah, we need some comments there. So we got to figure out how that, you know, how to get that going. But everything's going the right direction. So, all right, we'll see how we do. I don't feel good about this week. This is as bad as I felt as like probably week three or something like that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if this week goes good, I mean, me and Jason can be at the top of that leaderboard.
We'll find out.
Yeah. We're either going to be eating dog shit or eating at the steak at the penthouse. So we're going to find out.
Yeah, I just can't go. Yeah, I just can't agree on every pick. It's just not fun. It's just not fun. So, all right. We'll see how it goes, man. Sources on the Sofa. We are out.